It is good to see everybody here today. Hope you've all had a good week so far. I think this happened to Connie after I finished the bulletin on Thursday, but she fell and broke her hip, or she broke her hip and fell. And so she's already had surgery. She's doing very well, or she was doing very well until I called her this morning to see how she was doing, and she had to reach over to find the phone. But she sounded like she's doing really good. And so please keep her in your prayers. I think she'll be at Northwest for a day or two more, and then they'll decide what to do about her rehab. But please keep her and Reggie both in your prayers. Again, good to see everybody today. Want to welcome all of our visitors with us. We have several that are. We hope that if you have an opportunity, be sure and stay with us for the potluck after our morning worship service, and join us as our guests for the meal if you can do that, and everybody else as well. We always have plenty. We were looking at a passage last Sunday night that I wanted to go back to. I only spent a few minutes on it, but it's found in Matthew chapter 20. I want to talk about excuses today, because excuses are probably the one thing that we all have in common, and the one thing that we are all unusually creative at, because when it comes to excuses, most of us at one time or another have given them a lot of thought. I'm not going to read the whole parable again. We did that last Sunday night, but you know the parable. The man hired a group of people to work for him for a denarius, a day's wages. He came back out again at the third hour, and there were people who needed work, and so he hired them. Again at the sixth hour and the ninth hour, and he came back at the 11th hour. They had longer work days back then, that or they were all farmers. but at the 11th hour, he found people just standing around, and he said, "You come to work in my field as well." And they did. And then at the end of it, he lined them up, those who were hired last, he paid first, and he paid them a full denarius, a full day's wages, all the way down to the ones that had been there all day, and he just gave them a denarius, a day's wages, and the ones who had been there all day got kind of mad at him. They thought, well, we bore the heat of the day, we did all the work, and you're paying us the same as you paid them. And that's when Jesus made the famous comment, the last will be first and the first will be last. But I want you to think about that for a moment, if you would, this idea of those coming late and why it's so important for us to have a proper understanding of that. When you've been fortunate enough, when we compare this to what Christ is wanting us to compare it to, when you've been fortunate enough to serve God from a very young age all your life, that's a blessing. You may have served in the heat of the day all day, so to speak, but you had the comfort of knowing that you had eternal life waiting for you if you would just see the day out. And in addition to that, you are working for a good master. You everything that you needed, you had. And so your physical needs were taken care of, or spiritual needs are taken care of. Those who come late may have had quite a bit of suffering along the way. Because when you don't serve God early, you suffer for it. You may have a few brief ups and downs, mind you. You may have some periods of euphoria. But when it comes down to it, if you begin to serve God late, you've suffered for it. So the question is, what's the excuse that you've been giving yourself for not getting serious about your service to God? I mentioned last week one of our ladies, but I got a call, been a couple months ago now, from an elderly gentleman. I guess he was well into his 80s, and he had a friend who was a lady who was well into her 80s, and they had been talking about the gospel, and he asked me if I would study with her. They were from another town, and I said, "Oh yeah, I'd be glad to." And so they came here, and we had a Bible study, and she decided that when she was younger, that she wasn't sure if she was baptized for the right reason or even in the right way. And so she was determined that she was going to do it right. And so, I don't know, 80, 85 years old, she became Christian, or made sure that she was a Christian. And so what, whichever it was, whether she had done it right the first time or not, she made sure. Even though, looking at it maybe from our perspective, she was coming at the 11th hour. One that you're very familiar with was Darlene Cole. Darlene had been just a good lady. I think everybody that was around Darlene has to admit she was one of the best ladies that ever been around. When she was, in her 70s, she started worshiping out here. And the reason she did was because the ladies here treated her so well. She wanted to see what the congregation was like. And she started coming out, and she liked it so well. She wanted to be part of it, but she wasn't sure. Even though she had grown up in the denominational world, and she had been baptized when she was very young, she had the same hesitation. I'm not sure that I was baptized in the right way or for the right reason. Wasn't because of anything that I had said. She was concerned about that. And so we sat down and studied, and after she studied, she was convinced that she didn't want to take a chance. And so here, a lady who had been faithful in many ways all of her life came at a later hour to make absolutely certain. The third one that I want to share with you today, the example is of my own dad, who was a decent man, honest man, one of the men with the highest integrity that I'd ever been around. As a matter of fact, I even heard people talk about his integrity throughout the years. When I went to work with him and I would interact with bankers that he had worked with, that's one of the things they commented on, and how fortunate I was to be able to train under somebody like that. But Dad was a little bit hesitant when he was a younger man to get absolutely serious about his service to God. When I was growing up, he was our family always was at the worship and Bible class on Sunday morning and Sunday night. But Dad was always not there on Wednesday night, and he made it a point. I'm not saying he was sinning by doing so. I'm just saying he made it a point not to be there on Wednesday night. That was his night to relax. I can remember kind of feeling a little jealous about that when I was a little boy and would be leaving on Wednesday night and Dad's watching Red Skeleton and I got to go off to Bible class. You can understand that maybe Dad's, if Mom has made a nice meal with some vegetables and you replace the vegetables with candy, you're going to be a little more popular. But candy's not as good for you. And half an hour after the meal's over, they may not feel so well. They may not make the association, but they may not feel so well. But something happened with my dad when he was 48 years old, and he got really, really serious. And in one of the areas that showed up was Wednesday night, but other areas that it showed up was his Bible study. He really sat down. I can remember going in, and when we were over visiting, and he'd be in the living room just reading through the Bible. He started teaching Bible classes, taught an evangelism class for people on how to do personal work. Started filling in preaching in Casper, Wyoming, and then when they moved to Colorado, filled in long-term for a little congregation called Pleasant Valley. I guess he was probably in his 60s at that point. Moved up to Estes Park, and he started filling in long-term for them there in his 70s. And then they moved to a little town outside of Walsenburg and went there and started filling in for them, preaching when he was in his 70s. The point is, all the things that he had used as an excuse for not getting more serious in life, not at the 11th hour perhaps, but there came a point where he realized that he needed a deeper service. It wasn't because a preacher suggested it to him. It wasn't because his wife suggested it to him, although he loved my mom with all of his heart. It was just that he realized that he needed to be getting a little more serious. And it showed up in a lot of different ways. Well, that brings us to the next parable, and hopefully now maybe this will start to make a little more sense. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 1. Jesus spoke to them again in parable, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered. Everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out to the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests." Let's kind of hang on to that point right there. And if you'd like to follow along, we're going to be now reading from Luke chapter 14. As you look at the different parables from gospel to gospel, sometimes you'll see great similarities in the parables, and sometimes you'll see there's quite a bit of difference. And the reason for that, I suppose, is twofold. One, when you have two different people listening to the same thing, they will sometimes emphasize the things that made the biggest difference to them. But don't forget that the Holy Spirit is inspiring what they write. So there's another reason as well. And the difference I think you'll find between the parable that's given in Matthew and the parable that's given in Luke, even though they're essentially the same parable, is that they're given at two different times. And the reason we think that is when you look at the parable given in Matthew, Jesus has just been in the temple. And he's been teaching there, and he starts teaching a series of parables. In Luke, he's been at the home of one of the chief Pharisees, one of the men who's over the Pharisees, as a matter of fact, a very important man. But again, essentially the same parable. That shouldn't surprise you. Anybody that's been here for more than probably a couple of weeks, but for sure a couple of years, knows that I will preach the same thing, but in a little different way. Christ is no different. He's had a 3-year ministry, and he really does preach. I shouldn't say he's not any different. He does his from an intelligent and a knowledge point of view, but he looks at the crowd he's talking to. In Luke 14 and verse 16, Jesus said, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet, invited many guests. At that time of the banquet, he sent his servants to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I've just bought a field. I must go see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.'" Well, now look at these excuses, a lot more specific perhaps than the ones that were given in Matthew 22, certainly a little different, but they talk about their fields, their yoke of oxen, their being married. And so what are these excuses? Are they not their properties, their work, their family? Are they not the big three when it comes to excusing ourselves from God's service? And understand this. This parable is not focusing on coming to the worship or coming to Bible class. It may have application. As a matter of fact, I don't doubt it does. But this is talking about the way you serve God. Do you excuse yourself from reading the Word? Just a little bit busy? Maybe? Do you excuse yourself from studying the Word? In other words, really digging into the Word and finding out what it has to say? Do you think about what the Word says? Or do you excuse yourself? Are you just a little too tired? 3 hours of television sure looks a lot better than 15 minutes of Bible reading and Bible study, doesn't it? How much time do you take to truly pray? We're commanded to pray for our leaders. Look what we got now. You think many people have been doing that? We're commanded to pray about all people everywhere. We're commanded to pray about all things. But sometimes we excuse ourselves from that. And sometimes we excuse ourselves from the worship and from Bible study. Whatever part of our Christian service before God, one thing that we all have in common is that we're really good at excusing ourselves from doing what God wants us to do. And it ruins us when we do that. There are reasons to not have service to God, are there not? Let's take a regular Sunday morning. You've got kids home that are sick with strep throat. You've got an obligation, do you not? To your kids to take care of them, to the congregation not to give them strep throat. But isn't it interesting how many people do that? One of the jokes I remember that I hope it was a joke, but that I heard a preacher tell years ago were two men on a golf course on a Sunday morning, and one said, "You know, I feel kind of guilty. I really ought to be at the worship today." And the other one said, "Oh, I couldn't go in. I couldn't have gone anyway. I've got my wife home sick in bed." And I think a lot of people do that. You know, you got a family of 73, and all 72 of the ones that aren't sick stay home on behalf of the one. That doesn't make any sense. It's not just, again, it's not just worship in Bible class. As a matter of fact, I think it's a small percentage. I think it's the way you live your life every day. I think it's what you do and what I do when we see somebody in need of help and we pass them up, even though it would have been in our power to help them. I think it's the way that we see a neighbor who could use the gospel being given to him, even if it's something as simple as, "Hey, come to worship with me on Sunday." I think it's the determination whether or not when we wake up in the morning, if this day belongs to us or to the one who not only gave you the breath of life that you have, but every physical thing that you have and every hope that you have. When we talk about excuses, we're really, really good at making them. But the thing about excuses is it's not up to us to determine whether they're acceptable or not on the final day. And so that's why when we find ourselves in a situation where we're not happy with, we need to change. Darlene made sure she was a Christian. The lady that I had the privilege of studying with that sought me out, not me her. She became a Christian. She wanted to make sure at the 11th hour. My dad, who is one of the most intelligent men I've ever known, until he really got serious, he didn't always act intelligently when it came to the most important thing. But when he did, he left an example for his children, his grandchildren, and for all the people he influenced. If you have things in your life that you have been using as an excuse to keep you from serving God to the extent that you know He wants you to serve Him, then do something about it. It's not too late to do something about it. You can do it any time. That's the beauty of that parable. The lesson is not that you have plenty of time. The lesson is it's not too late right now. And so we'll leave you with that. And the invitation right now, if you have been off, but you're a Christian, you can take care of that privately. If you'd like the prayers of the congregation, we'd certainly be honored to pray on your behalf. If you're not a Christian yet and you'd like to become one and you know what it takes to become one, you believe in Jesus, you're ready to confess your belief that He is Lord, the Son of God, you're repenting of your sins, and you're ready to be baptized into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we can help you with that today. If you'd like a study to really dig into it and make sure, we can help you with that too. Just ask after services and we'll make sure that gets taken care of. But for right now, if you've been making excuses, what will you do to change that? If you need the help of the congregation now, won't you come forward and let that be known while we stand and sing?